Blog Talk Radio.
Hope your day is doing peachy. Going peachy? I guess that's how you say it. How about I just stop saying the word peachy? How about that? So here's the deal, son. I was talking about this briefly yesterday, but today I need to bring it up again. So YouTube was doing maintenance, and they decided, because they're assholes, to drop the file that I use when I upload. I mean, they weren't doing it specifically to fuck me over, but for whatever reason, they decided to drop my particular video file that I use, .m2t, it's called, not that that's important. And as a result of that, it takes fucking forever to upload videos and to edit videos because the file needs to be, like, reconverted, and that adds, like, about, it makes the editing process and the uploading process about three times longer than it normally is. So as a result of that, I either need to, either YouTube needs to bring it back, the file upload thing that we use, or I need to change, like, all of my equipment, the computer I use, the editing equipment and all that stuff, or I just have to, like, suck it up and essentially work from 9 o'clock in the morning to 2:30 in the morning every single day. Now, that's not humanly possible, so I had to shave off 30 minutes from the show just so I can upload all the videos to YouTube. Now, that's really not going to affect too much what we do here on the live show because you're still going to essentially get the same number of stories. So before, you know, it would have been anywhere from like 12 to 15 stories. That's still what it is. I'm just going to squeeze that into an hour and 30 minutes as opposed to 2 hours because it's simply impossible for me to continue to do that and upload everything. So I'm just as pissed off about this as you are, but, you know, it's YouTube, man. In fact, I fully support everybody tweeting them or, you know, getting in contact with them and basically telling them, look, bring back that file format because this is bullshit. So I know they weren't doing it to single me out or anything. They were just doing maintenance and they decided to make some tweaks. But those tweaks really fucking affected the show because I already put in an absurd amount of hours, and now they're, you know, making it much longer, a much longer process for me to edit and upload, which honestly is the worst part of my job and what I do, and I hate that part of it, and they made it significantly harder, so it's only going to mitigate it a little bit, too. I mean, in all seriousness, I would need to shave, like, a full hour off the show in order to get everything uploaded and still be done at a normal time. I'm not going to do that, but I have to shave off 30 minutes just so I can upload shit to YouTube, which is where I make, you know, most of the money for the show. So hate to disappoint anybody out there. If you guys are upset, I do apologize. Believe me, it was like a last-minute decision. I have no other option. There's no other out. It would take me forever to learn how to use new equipment and get new computers and all that stuff. So it's just I got to do what I got to do here in order to get everything on. And that should make it so I can get HD up there again. We've been making trade-offs. It's been hectic behind the scenes here trying to figure out what to do to deal with the YouTube changes. So that's the deal, man. All right, now, with that being said, since I have 30 minutes less today than I normally would, let me go ahead and dive right in. Even some Republicans, specifically from Tennessee, are tired of the Koch brothers meddling in their elections, and they're tired of money in politics. Raw Story reports, quote, "The Kochs pour cash into Republican campaigns and steer pro-business policies through their Americans for Prosperity organization, which attacks GOP lawmakers who are insufficiently supportive." That's what happened to State Representative Kevin Brooks, who asked his GOP colleagues to at least consider Republican Governor Bill Haslam's plan to use federal dollars and extend Medicaid health coverage to 280,000 low-income residents through his Ensure Tennessee proposal. They continue, they say, AFP, Americans for Prosperity, launched a series of radio ads claiming that Brooks, the House Assistant Majority Leader, had betrayed voters by flip-flopping on Obamacare. Ensure Tennessee ultimately failed twice in this year's General Assembly after AFP attacks on Brooks and GOP State Representatives Jimmy Eldridge and John Holsklaw for their perceived support of the governor's plan. But the Koch brothers' disproportionate influence on the state's politics rubbed some Republicans the wrong way, including the governor's top political advisor. So, understand what happened here. You had some Republicans in the state of Tennessee essentially realize that there's no downside whatsoever to expand Medicaid. In fact, it's only upsides, and you're literally going to save the lives of people in your state. You're literally going to save the lives of your constituents. And also understand that politics at the state level and the local level is much less corrupt than politics is at a national level. So these guys saw a problem and saw the solution. The problem is 280,000 low-income residents who are in this gap where they don't have any health coverage whatsoever. And the idea was, well, expand Tennessee's state program and expand Medicaid and make it so that we cover these people and they don't, like, die if they get sick or go bankrupt. So they were doing the right thing. These Tennessee Republicans were doing the right thing. And the Koch brothers stepped in as a third party, not involved in Tennessee, but they stepped in and said, I don't like the fact that now we have some Tennessee Republicans who are actually looking out for the people of Tennessee. So what we're going to do is we're going to run ads against these guys and make everybody in Tennessee think that these guys are – you know, bad guys, and, oh, they're really liberal, which, of course, to your average Tennessee voter, they go, oh, I don't like no damn liberals. And they make it seem like, oh, these guys love Obama, so vote them out. So they run all these, like, deceptive ads, which totally mislead from the main issue here, which is more people are going to get health insurance, and they screw these people over. And now even Tennessee Republicans are going, you know, this whole money in politics thing, this might be a problem. Yeah, no shit, it's a problem. They're realizing it's a problem now that the money is being used against them. And think about how absurd the facts are. Think about how absurd it is that you have the Koch brothers who have nothing to do with what's going on with these people, right? It's Tennessee. It's a state, and they're talking about low-income people in Tennessee, but the Koch brothers are so anti-Medicaid and so anti-government that they step in and they're like, even though we have nothing to do with this, we're going to screw over those 280,000 low-income residents because it disagrees with our philosophy. So we're going to essentially buy the policy we want. And the policy we want is screw these people, let them have no health insurance or health care. If they go bankrupt, let them go bankrupt. If they die, let them die. We don't care. So now even Tennessee Republicans are going, whoa, 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 whoa. This is what's become of our democracy? So we think of something that can help the people, and that's a smart idea, and there's no downside to it whatsoever. But a third party, an independent third party, steps in, and they say, we're just gonna smear you nonstop in the media and buy ad time and make it so that you're not going to be in power ever again because you dared to do something decent for your constituents. This is how you know it's gotten too far, man. We've gone too far. This is how you know it. When even Tennessee Republicans are like, wait, this is how it works? I mean, it's not even a question anymore. What we have is a government of, by, and for the rich, a government of, by, and for the billionaires. This is an oligarchy. That's what this is. This is an oligarchy, or you could call it a kleptocracy, or you could call it a plutocracy. They're all different political science terms that basically mean the same thing, more or less. Government of, by, and for the rich, of, by, and for an elite ruling class. And it's gotten to the point now where even state politicians can be considered like, you're not part of that class. You're not with us enough, so we're going to crush you. So if it's not Democrats making decisions in Tennessee, and it's not even the Republican Party making decisions in Tennessee, and it's certainly not the people of Tennessee making the decisions, who controls the policy? And that's the main point of this story. It's the billionaires, the Koch brothers. In this case, they literally controlled the policy that was implemented in Tennessee. Absolutely disastrous. All right. Now, we move on to a really scary story coming out of the New York Times. And I was fucking clueless about this, and I think most people were absolutely clueless about this. The New York Times blew the lid off of a tremendous story which basically details modern-day slave conditions at nail salons. So they say, first of all, you have virtually the entire industry built on undocumented immigrant labor. You have undocumented immigrant workers who are absolutely exploited, and they don't know that they have rights. They don't know that essentially what's happening is they're being used. They don't know just how much they're getting screwed over. So they describe race as a big factor in this as well. They say there's a, quote, rigid racial hierarchy involved in nail salons. They say Koreans make the most money because the salons are mostly Korean-owned, and then if they hire somebody and the person's Korean, they'll get better pay than the other workers. Then they say right underneath Koreans is Chinese people, so Chinese immigrants will get worse pay than Koreans, but better than some of the other people. And at the bottom, they have Hispanic workers. So they'll hire Hispanic workers and pay them significantly less than Chinese workers and Korean workers. And oftentimes, get this, the job working at a nail salon, workers need to pay the owner. So they make them pay them a couple $100. They basically make them pay everything that they have. And then they say to them, well, there's a period of a few months where you make nothing. So you pay me, you work for a few months and you make nothing, and this is your tryout period. And then when that's completed, you might get $30 a day for working 12-hour days. This is going on in the United States of America right now. And you know what they say? It's actually worse in the bigger cities. So New York City is the worst offender. Then you have L.A., some places in California that are terrible offenders. The Chicago area is a bad offender. They actually say in, you know, places more in middle America, they make like double the wages. The workers are still getting exploited, but they make like double the wages compared to what they make in like New York City and L.A. So this is an insane story, man. I had absolutely no clue about this. They say, quote, workers endure all manner of humiliation, including having their tips docked as punishment for minor transgressions, constant video monitoring by owners, even physical abuse. Employers are rarely punished for labor and other violations. So they even have, like, living circumstances that are essentially like the old-school tenement housing. Like, you have 6 people in a one-bedroom apartment or 10 people in a tiny one-bedroom apartment. And then, again, they pay the workers to show up and work. And then maybe later on they get $30 a day for doing 12 hours worth of work. Essentially what it is, and the New York Times describes it this way, it's like a modern system of slavery. I mean, they're getting paid way under minimum wage. They're terribly exploited, and it's just, you know, it's just been happening for the longest time. So the main takeaway when I read through this is very simple. This is exactly why government is supposed to exist. This is exactly the kind of thing government should get involved with. To stop this, I mean, you need to really crack down on the owners of these nail salons. That's the idea. You know, we used to do that back in the day. We never used to go after undocumented immigrants themselves. We used to, with federal policy, go after the business owners who exploit the undocumented immigrants. Well, today, I mean, what are we doing? We're sitting around with our thumbs up our asses looking at a situation which is described as modern-day slavery, and none of us even fucking knew about it. None of us knew about it. And they also say that, like, the average price for a manicure or something like that, or manicure and pedicure, they say it's like $10, probably just for a manicure, but I'm just guessing here. I don't remember exactly how they laid it out in the article. But, I mean, the bottom line is, what? All the, let's face it, for the most part, rich white women, or at least middle-class white women who are going to these nail salons, they can afford to pay double, triple what they're paying right now, and, you know, the workers should be able to at least make a living wage. I mean, isn't that amazing? We have in America right now, the minimum wage does not equal a living wage. So even if they were making $7.25 an hour, that's not enough to survive. But not only are they not making the minimum wage, which is not equal to a living wage, they're making less than the minimum wage. They're paying the boss to work for them. That's worse than slavery. At least with slavery, you know, you have a system where nobody gets paid anything. You're just forced to work. This is like, I'll pay you, and then you force me to work. This is in 2015 in the United States of America. Look, man, I get it. Is there a lot of fucked up shit going on overseas? Yes. Are some of the shit going on overseas even worse than some of the shit going on over here? Yes, no question about it. But one of the main arguments that you hear from people like myself and other progressives is, let's get our own house in order, especially before we try to do this crazy idea which doesn't even make any sense of exporting our values and our ideology and democracy. This is what we want to export? Slavery at nail salons, that's what we want to export. Forget about all the crazy shit we do in foreign policy. Forget about all the trillions of dollars that we waste with war and corporate welfare and things of that nature. Let's focus here at home and fix all the tremendous problems that we have. And this should be high on the list. The government needs to crack down and make sure that these workers make a living wage. Okay. Now, we move on to the NSA. Good news about the NSA spying program. A federal appeals court ruled that it's illegal. So it was a unanimous panel decision. They say, quote, the government takes the position that the metadata collected, a vast amount of which does not contain directly relevant information, as the government concedes, are nevertheless relevant because they may allow the NSA, at some unknown time in the future, utilizing its ability to sift through the trove of irrelevant data it has collected up to that point, to identify information that is relevant. We agree with appellants that such an expansive concept of relevance is unprecedented and unwarranted. They continue here and say, the metadata concerning every telephone call made or received in the United States using the services of the recipient service provider are demanded for an indefinite period extending into the future. The records demanded are not those of suspects under investigation or of people or businesses that have contact with such subjects or of people or businesses that have contact with others who are in contact with the subjects. They extend to every record that exists. And indeed, to records that do not yet exist, as they impose a continuing obligation on the recipient of the subpoena to provide such records on an ongoing basis as they are created. The government can point to no grand jury subpoena that is remotely comparable to the real-time data collection undertaken under this program. So, what they're saying is, without question, very clearly, the NSA spying program is illegal. Now, understand that this doesn't mean that overnight it's just gone, because we've already covered like three or four other court decisions which have ruled various different things, on, and they've come to different conclusions. Some courts have said, oh, it's allowed, and oh, it's not allowed. Oh, it's not allowed, but I'm not going to put a moratorium on it. So there's decisions all over the place from all these different courts. But understand that it's basically going to come down to the Supreme Court to determine whether or not the program is constitutional. So again, what this court decided is the legality of the program. That's a different thing than the constitutionality of the program. Now, if you ask me, and I think all you guys already know this if you've been listening to Secular Talk for more than a month, I think it is both illegal and unconstitutional. It is illegal because it violates Section 215 of the Patriot Act, which is the section that they use, ironically, to justify it. So the argument from the federal government and the executive branch is, no, it's okay, because Section 215 of the Patriot Act allows us to do this bulk data collection because we need to protect the nation. Now, if you actually talk to Representative Sensenbrenner, who wrote the Patriot Act, he says, no, I wrote that provision, and that's not what it's for. So on that alone, done, conversation over. Now, I love how we debate, oh, what did the founders mean when it came to the Constitution? Those are legitimate discussions because the founders are dead. You don't know. But if you can talk to Representative Sensenbrenner, who wrote it, and he says, I didn't mean what you say it means, well, that should be the end of the conversation. I mean, did you know that directly after 9/11, when this was implemented, that in the early days of the Patriot Act, there were court cases, and it was an open question as to whether or not Section 215 of the Patriot Act would allow for the government to spy on library records. That was a debate back then. Now they're like, Section 215 allows us to not only spy on library records, it allows us to spy on your entire life. Your entire life. We can get your, you know, your phone call data and information. Now we know they transcribe that as well. That was a story that broke a few days ago. They can get all of your text messages and emails and everything you've done on the internet. In the early 2000s, they didn't, hey, we don't know if this means we can look at your library records without a warrant. Now they're like, library records? We do that on a Tuesday before brunch. Are you kidding me? We spy on everything now under Section 215, even though the author of Section 215 says you can't do that. So I think it's clearly illegal. The court agrees with me on that. But I also think it's unconstitutional because the Fourth Amendment says the following, quote, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. We are essentially doing the opposite of that. We are effectively doing the opposite of that. They're saying here, you need a warrant to search anything. You need a warrant that describes particularly, keyword, the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So I don't know how anybody can look at the Fourth Amendment and say that having all of your life's information and all of your secrets that are in your metadata, that the government could just take that. I don't know how anybody can look at the Fourth Amendment and say, yeah, that jives perfectly. That makes sense. No, the Fourth Amendment is clear. You need a warrant for stuff like that. And just as Rand Paul said the other day, even for the biggest civil libertarians, when we look at this situation, it's not like we're saying the government can never look into anybody's personal information. All we're saying is get a fucking warrant from a true independent judiciary. I mean, right now they have the bullshit FISA court set up, which are just a rubber stamp. They approve like 99.9% of the things that go in front of the court. It's a system that's made up. It's a system that makes it so there's not a real warrant. They have carte blanche. The NSA and all the government agencies look at anything that anybody's doing at any time. So all we're asking for is set up a system where you have an independent judiciary and you have people that will give you a real warrant. And then that's it. You're not going to hear a peep out of us anymore. But the bottom line is you have to dismantle this bulk spying and surveillance program because it's prevented no terrorist attacks, and we've documented all the abuse that has happened as a result of it. I mean, we spoke about how, for example, they have a whole program with a name called LoveInt. You know what that stands for? Love Intelligence. That's when the NSA people spy on their ex-boyfriends and girlfriends just to see what they're doing, to see if they could dig some dirt up on them. It's so common they had to name it when they do it. They do, like, every day, someone's, I'm going to go grab a sandwich. You want to come grab a sandwich? No, I got to go spy on my ex-girlfriend, Rebecca. I don't know. I'm busy here. I'll catch up with you later. And they're like, oh, cool, rock and roll. You're brazenly violating people's privacy. They were spying on shit like Angry Birds and World of Warcraft, ways to communicate in there, because they thought, we think the Taliban or Al-Qaeda's talking in there. They weren't. It was made up. There was an audit of the NSA. They made over 2,600 violations in 1 year alone. And you're to tell us that, don't worry, nothing bad is going on here and we're just protecting you from terrorism. Oh, are you really? It's funny how you weren't able to stop the people who tried to storm into the Muhammad cartoon contest in Texas. The people who were there had to take those guys out. You had no fucking clue. So if this works so well, then how did the Boston bombing happen? How did that situation happen in Texas? How did it happen? I thought, oh, this prevents terrorism. But it didn't. It didn't prevent terrorism. Terrorism happened under its watch. So in other words, our liberty is gone and we're still not any safer. So how about we bring our liberty back and go back to the process that was established under the Constitution in order to handle law enforcement issues? It should be common sense. It shouldn't even be debatable. Okay. All right, so let's take our first break. When we come back, we have a very concerning development to report on coming out of Syria. You're not going to want to miss that. And we have a big story from Politico that highlights the kind of big government that we should all be opposed to. All right, stay right there, guys. Blog Talk Radio, Secular Talk Radio, Kyle Klinsky Show.
It wasn't easy, but nothing it ends. No. When I was young, it's not my problem. It's not my problem.
Celebrate. Celebrate what? How about sun, fun, and live music? All this week, we're celebrating National Concert Day with a special offer. Buy two tickets to any Live Nation Amphitheater show, and you'll get $30 in concert cash to use for even more tickets to more great shows. This offer ends Saturday, so check out the lineup of artists playing in your area and grab your tickets now. Just go to LiveNation.com. That's LiveNation.com.
Let's Let's talk about the new developments in Syria, because this ain't good. We have a very concerning development to report on today coming out of Syria. The Associated Press says, quote, casting aside U.S. concerns about aiding extremist groups, Turkey and Saudi Arabia have converged on an aggressive new strategy to bring down Syrian President Bashar Assad. The two countries, one a democracy, the other a conservative kingdom, they call it, which I think is hilarious. You're basically doing propaganda for America when you call it that. In reality, let's face it, it's a theocracy governed by Sharia. So no need to dance around it. If they talk about ISIS, they're quick to say, they're Sharia, 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 they're doing Sharia. But when it's our ally Saudi Arabia, conservative kingdom. Oh, that sounds so pretty, right? Sorry, I digress. A conservative kingdom have for years been at odds over how to deal with Assad, their common enemy. But mutual frustration with what they consider American indecision has brought the two together in a strategic alliance that is driving recent rebel gains in northern Syria and has helped strengthen a new coalition of anti-Assad insurgents. That is provoking concern in the United States, which does not want rebel groups, including the Al-Qaeda-linked Nusra Front, uniting to topple Assad. So do you understand what this new development means? Our top allies, Turkey and Saudi Arabia, have decided, yeah, you know, why don't we team up with Al-Qaeda and topple Assad? How about that? Whoa, 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 whoa. So our allies are going to team up with a jihadist organization which wants death to America in the clearest terms. Our allies are going to work with our enemies in order to bring down somebody who is also in a stated way as our enemy, but we're more neutral to now because we see who he's fighting. Why are these countries our allies again? Sorry, I mean, it's the question that needs to be asked. No, see, here's the problem. They're playing with fire. So look, Bashar Assad, is he a bad guy? Yes. Has he done horrible things? Yes. But who the fuck do you think is going to replace him? So if Saudi Arabia and Turkey team up with al-Nusra and ISIS to topple Assad, it's a guarantee that the regime that replaces Assad will be worse than Assad. Who's the most powerful and most dedicated fighting force in the region? Without question, ISIS and al-Nusra. In fact, we've covered detailed articles coming out of the Daily Beast where they talk about how the facts on the ground show that the FSA no longer exists. There was, I think, an article titled The Myth of the Moderate Syrian Rebels or Myth of the Moderate Syrian Opposition, where the U.S. for the longest time was like, well, we're going to need to arm the moderate Sunni opposition. Well, it turned out that all the people who were there who were moderate, a long time ago, they fled to either Europe or to Turkey. So now everybody that remains fighting Assad in Syria, they're jihadists. They're extremists, which is why the U.S. essentially did an about-face on Assad. Remember, it was like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, they were talking about, oh, we need to bomb Assad and get rid of him because he's a bad guy. Look at what he's doing. He's committing human rights violations. Then, like a year after that, they were like, oh, did we say bomb Assad? We meant, when we said get involved in Syria and fight in Syria, what we really meant was let's be allies with Assad so we can fight ISIS because ISIS is fighting Assad. We flip sides in the conflict. And we flip sides in the conflict because we realized, oh, wait, yeah, we don't like Assad because he's Shia and he's, you know, lined up with Iran and Russia, but he's the lesser of two evils. Anybody who replaces him is going to be worse. There's going to be worse. So now our allies, Turkey and Saudi Arabia, are basically saying to us, hey, fuck you, we don't care. We're Sunnis. Our allegiance is with Sunnis. So just by virtue of the fact that Assad is Shia, we want him out of there. We want him out of there. We want to have more control in there somehow, even if it's by some sort of a surrogate, even if it's by a proxy state. We want to have, you know, somebody in there who's a Sunni who maybe would be, you know, more compliant with us. You're playing with fucking fire, man. You're playing with jihadist groups you're teaming up with as you pretend to also be on the side of America. I said it once, I'll say it again. America is playing the village idiot in the Sunni-Shia divide, in the Sunni-Shia fight. Because think about it. If you talk about the fighting in Iraq, we're 100% on the side of the Shias, right? We're, you know, we have spoken endlessly about backing up the Shia militias in order to fight ISIS, because we're on the side of fighting ISIS. But then if you, for example, go to Yemen, we flip sides completely. We're like Shias, well, no, we don't like those Shias because those Shias are Houthis. So in the same general fight, Sunni versus Shia, in Yemen we're on the other side, we're on the Sunni side. In Iraq, we're on the Shia side. In Yemen, we're on the Sunni side. And in Syria, we're just confused as fuck. Because we're like, we like Assad better than the jihadists, but now our allies are backing up the jihadists, the Sunni extremists, so maybe we're on the side of the Sunni extremists. Look at this shit, man. And this is all because we want more power and more control in the region and more natural resources, and we want to keep the world order the way it is right now. So we don't know what the fuck we're doing anymore. We're just, our foreign policy is a giant embarrassment. It's just a bunch of confused idiots in Washington who think they're smarter than everybody and they can game the system, but really they're the ones getting gamed. I mean, our own allies are now saying, yeah, maybe the Al-Qaeda affiliate, Al-Nusra Front, is better than Bashar Assad. Bottom line, you guys already know my position on this. You already know my take on this. Not only do I want to stay out of the fighting that's going on over there, and I want to have nothing to do with it, I also essentially want to cut off the deep economic ties that we have with a place like Saudi Arabia. Because, I mean, they're our oil sugar daddy. That's why we love them. For the longest time, it's an unholy alliance. We admittedly hate each other, right? Like, yeah, we know we hate each other, the ideology the other one has, on both sides. But we're like, okay, well, you give me oil, I give you money, so let's just keep this thing going. Or not. The United States is one of the top oil and gas producers in the world. You wouldn't know it if you read the news. But the thing is, we take all that and we ship it out. Why do we ship it out? Because it's for profit in America. It's not a nationalized oil industry. So we can't decide what to do with it in a rational way. We have to go by the whims of fucking idiot multinational corporation leaders who are, you know, leading to terrible foreign conflicts because we're so dependent on foreign oil, because we ship all of ours out. I would do a total realignment, man. I would make it so that we cut off our dependence on foreign oil. All the oil and gas we produce here, why not consume it here? Why not depend on no foreign oil? How about we just consume the shit that we create and even bolster our economy in the process as we cut ties with the fundamentalist Sunnis? I know, but I'm the crazy one, because we need to just keep up with the same deals that we've had for the longest time, even though they make no sense today, and it's contributing to basically a global downturn and violence all over the place. So there you have it, man. Our top allies are going, yeah, maybe we can team up with Al-Qaeda. That makes sense. Okay, now, time to go to a Politico story. So here we have a story from Politico that highlights the kind of big government that we should all be opposed to. They say, quote, "A Department of Defense audit has reportedly found that Pentagon employees bill their gambling and adult entertainment charges to their government credit cards. The Department of Defense's Inspector General Office found that both civilian and military employees use the credit cards at casinos and for escort services and other adult activities in Las Vegas and Atlantic City. Employees may have used the government cards for gambling and escort services in order to shield the charges from spouses. Stay classy. Politico noted that in the past, it has been estimated that prohibited purchases cost the government hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Wow. And probably a hefty chunk of that is payment for some booty. All right. Think about this, because I've read 3-4 different articles in the past 6 months where in Republican states you'll have these bills pop up out of nowhere that say, let's limit people who take food stamp money or welfare money from buying shellfish or filet mignon or, you know, something that's expensive, some expensive food product. We need to prevent that because we need to look out for the taxpayer dollars. We can't allow these moochers, these parasites, to spend in a luxurious way. Shouldn't be allowed. So bills pop up to block that. But when this story comes out, about how people at the Pentagon are using tax dollars to get their dick sucked. Using tax dollars to gamble. What are the Republicans doing? No. See, they're allowed to do it because they work for the Pentagon, so it's the military-industrial complex, and they're white, and they're our buddies. So, cool. Totally fine. Not going to hear a peep out of me. Oh, God. I'll say it again, man. We can't turn the water on in Detroit. There was a time that's what they said to us. Sorry, we got to keep the water off in Detroit. We don't have the money for it. So you can't keep the water on in Detroit. People can pay to get their little pecker touched. People can pay to gamble with taxpayer money. We're paying for them to get their rocks off, them to get their jollies. Look at our priorities. They're so fucked up. Every time there's a question mark about whether or not money in the safety net is going towards the right thing, you have Republicans and conservatives say, we need to just get rid of the safety net. It's just look at all the fucking waste that's going on over there. But when you have corporate welfare, which is absolutely unnecessary, and you have pork barrel spending projects, and you have the military-industrial complex, all the places where the money is really wasted, they don't have a fucking thing to say. We just learned the Pentagon is paying to have sex. And at the same time, bills are coming out where they're increasing funding to the Pentagon, and they want to do more military spending across the board. So for them, blank check. For Wall Street, blank check. We'll even bail you out and do no rules when you crash the economy. But for poor people, oh, for you, you get rugged, individualistic, laissez-faire capitalism, and you need to pull yourself up by your fucking bootstraps. My buddies over at the Pentagon can use tax dollars to get blown and to gamble. But you need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and we're not even going to give you $1.30 a meal to feed your hungry kid. Look at our priorities. This is why people are angry. Wake up, Washington. Now, let's go to Mike Huckabee. I think I got two Mike Huckabee stories today. Raw Story has an article out today on an issue involving Mike Huckabee that most people don't know, but if they did know, he would have a negative 25% chance of winning even one primary in this election. So in the past, he won a few. He won a few the last time he ran. But I think if people knew this and if the media spoke about this, his chances would be non-existent. They're already pretty low now, but it would be absolutely non-existent. So this happened in the past, and this is something that's already been reported on because it's an old story. But it's one of those stories that you can't ignore it because it shows you so much about who Mike Huckabee is. So it's a story about a guy named Wayne Eugene Dumond and what Huckabee did for him. So Dumond was arrested multiple times from 1972 to 1976 for charges ranging from murder to molestation to rape. Quote, each time he walked after agreeing to testify against others or after getting a slap on the wrist. In 1984, he raped 17-year-old cheerleader Ashley Stevens of Arkansas, who happened to be the third cousin of Bill Clinton, and was later convicted and sentenced to 20 years in prison. Now enter Governor Mike Huckabee. This is when he was the governor of Arkansas. Egged on by evangelicals and conservatives who believe that Bill Clinton is Satan incarnate and that Dumond was railroaded, Huckabee involved himself in Dumond's parole hearings, writing to him to say, "Dear Wayne, my desire is that you be released from prison." Despite receiving letters from women who had previously been assaulted by Dumond, Huckabee met with the parole board in a meeting that was not recorded and which later voted 4-1 to parole Dumond on the condition that he leave the state. Said parole board member Irmer Pondexter, quote, "I signed the parole papers because the governor wanted Dumond paroled. I was thinking the governor was working for the best interests of the state." After moving to Missouri in August 2000, this is the most incredible part of the story here, Dumond was once again arrested only 6 months later for the rape and murder of Carol Sue Shields. Whoa. So understand what happened here. Mike Huckabee, as governor, learned that in his state, somebody was locked up who raped the third cousin of Bill Clinton. Mike Huckabee let that guy go. Mike Huckabee influenced the parole board and said, get this guy out. He wrote to him and said, I want you to be free. Spoke to the parole board. They let the guy go. When he got out, he raped and murdered another person. Dude, you're done. Exit stage left, son. If the media was reporting on this, if they were doing their job, like I said, Huckabee would have a negative 25% chance of winning. Because that's something, even conservatives, I mean, what's their whole thing? We're tough on crime. We don't like no goddamn criminals. You gotta abide by the law. They're authoritarian in that way. No deviation from the law. Oh, well, look at Mike Huckabee. He's letting criminals go left and right. Remember the old Willie Horton ad? About, a liberal let this guy out of prison and he killed again. Blah, blah, be afraid. He's a black guy. Be afraid. Well, here you have a rapist and a murderer who was let out by Mike Huckabee, and he raped and he murdered again. Now, understand, as they mention in the article, they say, because they're being very responsible in how they phrase this, they say, look, I mean, maybe the reason why Mike Huckabee wanted to let this guy go is not because he was Bill Clinton's third cousin and he hates Bill Clinton and all the Republicans hate Bill Clinton and we're forcing him in that direction. No, maybe it's just because he really is a good Christian who believes in redemption and wants to let people out of jail. Is that a possibility? Yeah, sure it is. Totally. But what's more likely? Keep it real. So again, just to make it as simple as possible, Mike Huckabee, when he was governor of Arkansas, let a guy go who raped Bill Clinton's third cousin, and then lo and behold, when the guy gets out, he rapes and he kills again. You want to talk about somebody who makes terrible decisions, and somebody who probably makes decisions based off petty little personal shit and backwards opinionated shit. Well, that's Mike Huckabee for you, and it was devastating consequences in the past. And if he were to gain another position of power, it would be devastating consequences in the future. So let's just keep all this in mind. Okay. One more here before we take a break, skis. And this one is also Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee did an interview with CNN's Jake Tapper, and Jake Tapper brought up a huge issue that honestly should disqualify Mike Huckabee from getting higher office.
In January, sir, you rented out your email list to a group selling hidden cures for cancer embedded in Bible verses for the low price of $72. Don't you lose credibility by attaching your name to things like that?
Well, I never signed that letter. I mean, I have a huge email list that I developed over many years, and we did, in fact, rent it out to entities. But, my gosh, that's like saying that you run some ads on CNN. Do you personally agree with all the ads that run on CNN? I doubt you do. I'm sure there's some for maybe, I don't know, catheters or adult diapers. They're not products that you use or that you necessarily believe in. I don't hold you responsible for that. And in that same way, I don't think people who understand how advertising works would hold me responsible for something that I didn't personally sign up for or endorse.
With all due respect, sir, I think that's kind of a false equivalence. We're talking about medical devices on one hand, catheters and adult diapers, and you're talking about something that I think a lot of people would consider to be hucksterism in terms of Bible verses curing cancer.
Well, once again, I just say that if people buy the advertising space, whether it's on your channel or in that case it was in essence my channel, it doesn't mean necessarily that I'm personally identifying it with it any more than I would expect you to identify with any and everything that's sold on CNN, because my guess is you probably don't control all those things, and I didn't actually run that part of my company.
All right, Governor Huckabee, thank you so much. Hope to see you out there on the campaign trail. Good luck.
I'm sure you will. Thank you, Jay. Good to talk to you.
I like how Jake basically exposes him as a scam artist there and a bad person. And then he ends it with, all right, Mike, hope to see you out there on the campaign trail. See you later. And Mike's like, all right, you too, buddy. No. This is a bad dude that we're talking about here. Now, we spoke about this at the time. The Young Turk spoke about this at the time. I don't know if anybody in the mainstream spoke about this. They should have if they didn't. But Mike Huckabee was legit a snake oil salesman. He's a scam artist. he was pushing a cure for cancer, which literally said, turn to whatever page of the Bible and read this verse, and then also take this frankincense extract or myrrh or something, which is another thing that's like biblical. Take this and like rub it on yourself and read this Bible verse out loud, and boom, you'll be cured of your cancer. And they have like testimonials. I did it. It worked. So he was pushing that. And his argument now is like, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I don't know what you're talking about. It's like when somebody runs ads on CNN, you don't personally endorse all of it, right? No, but wait a second. You're right. Jake Tapper literally does not personally endorse it. He doesn't put his signature or say, this is approved by Jake Tapper. You did. You had a Huckabee stamp and a Huckabee signature on every email that was pushing the fake cancer cure. And also this idea of like, well, I'm not responsible for it. Dude, we covered a story where you were pushing another kind of bogus cure. I think it was for like diabetes or something like that, where he's just from diet, from this new program, which I'm now endorsing. He did this thing where he spoke for like a minute and he was pushing people to do it. If you are having trouble curing this, well, take this and you'll be cured. Total bullshit, no medical evidence behind it whatsoever, but he's personally endorsing these products. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing at all. So the two main problems are, number one, Mike, in the example you give, adult diapers and catheters, they work. They actually serve a purpose. So the ads on CNN for those things make sense. They work, those products. Yours is not. Yours is scamming people. That doesn't work. There's a total difference there. And number two, you literally had your personal signature on something that's supposed to be a cancer cure. No, you don't get to just wash your hands of this and move on, man. This shows you are a sellout. You're a whore for the money. If somebody gives you money, you will put your name on a bogus cancer cure. And this is hilarious because Mike Huckabee is one of the guys who likes to talk about his integrity. Oh, yes. You know, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I have high moral fiber. My standards are through the roof. I have values. Now, every time you talk about moral values, Mike Huckabee's referring to, you know, hate gay people, pray to Jesus, be in favor of wars overseas. No, this is real morals and values right here. This is where you're actually violating a moral standard. When you endorse to your not very bright followers a cancer cure that's not real, this is a problem. If even one person decided, I'm not going to go and get my chemotherapy because Mike Huckabee's Bible verse plan might help me. If you convince even one person to go down that route, you fucked up, man, and you're a bad dude. In fact, even if nobody went down that route, just the fact that you're pushing this idea, and you think it's okay that you're pushing this idea, there's a tremendous disconnect in his head. This is a guy who's just disconnected from reality. He doesn't understand the consequences of his actions. I can't have this guy knowing the nuclear launch codes. You're that unintelligent? I mean, you're that not bright to realize you shouldn't push a fake cancer cure, and then you want us to trust you with the highest office in America. Get the fuck out of here, man. Honestly, it's embarrassing and it's disgusting. I'm offended by the fact that he would even ask anybody in America to vote for him. Dude, you're a scam artist. You should be happy you're not in jail right now. Can't tell. I was pretty heated about that. Whew. All right. So, let's take our final break, and then when we come back, we have some perhaps unexpected bipartisanship to discuss coming out of Texas today. I think you guys will like that story. And we have Ben Carson, who talks about how God cares about his grades. I kid you not, these guys get dumber and dumber every day. And then also, later on, the Mormon Church gets really, really upset, apparently, if you in any way, shape, or form bring up their racial history. And I can't wait to tell you what kind of backlash there was when somebody did that. So stay right there, guys. We'll be right back. Blog Talk Radio, Secular Talk Radio, Kyle Klinsky Show.
Now he's guilt stricken, sobbing with his head on the floor. Thinks about him now and how he never
Why he jumps on people like this.
That's okay. Have you considered obedience training?
I have, but I can't find a class that works with my busy schedule.
Call Canine Company. Their manners obedience trainers conveniently come to your home to work with your dog.
Really? That sounds perfect for our Toby.
Click or visit caninecompany.com for Manners Custom In-Home Obedience Training. We can help you turn that devilish doggy into a pooch to be proud of.
Tired of data hogs? Only Virgin Mobile lets you tame the beasts and control how much data each line gets. Get up to 4 lines and 12 gigs of LTE data to share, plus unlimited talk and text while on the nationwide Sprint network for less than $30 a month per line. Data done right by Virgin Mobile. Only at Walmart. International Extra. Sprint LTE network reaches over 270 million people. Taxes, fees, additional terms, and restrictions apply. See participating Walmart store for details.
Alright, we're back, guys. Final 30 minutes for those of you just joining us. Ask somebody why it's 30 minutes shorter. I don't want to explain all that again. Anywho, but we are going to get in pretty much the same number that we normally do. If you haven't been able to tell, my pace was kind of picked up there. So, alright, let's move on to Texas. Some really interesting news coming out of Texas. So we have some perhaps unexpected bipartisanship to discuss today coming out of Texas. Think Progress reports, quote, the Texas State House Criminal Jurisprudence Committee voted 5-2 on Wednesday in favor of legislation that would legalize marijuana. So Texas is legit considering legalizing marijuana. Last month, Texas State Representative David Simpson said this, quote, as a Christian, I recognize the innate goodness of everything God made and humanity's charge to be stewards of the same. I'm especially cautious when it comes to laws banning plants. I don't believe that when God made marijuana, he made a mistake that government needs to fix. All right, so let me just note here for the record how brilliant that argument is in terms of appealing to conservatives. Obviously, like objectively speaking and using reason, it's one of the dumbest fucking arguments you've ever heard. Legalize marijuana. Why? Because God, particularly Jesus, because of course they believe in Jesus. That's your argument? That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. There's no evidence God or Jesus even exists. But see, this guy knows because he's a Republican. He's like, I got it. I know how to appeal to the people who vote for us in the first place. Just bring up God. Just say, God made plant. Government's not better than God. Government can't ban plant. And some conservatives are like, oh, yeah. That's genius. That makes sense. You're right. Maybe we should legalize marijuana. Liberals have been making nuanced arguments that make sense for the longest time. We've been talking about individual freedom and liberty and how the government shouldn't be able to lock you in a cage if you change your consciousness slightly. We talk about how the drug war is actually counterproductive and it increases crime. None of that lands. But this guy, a Republican's like, God, and they go, oh, convinced. Fuck, man, fuck. It's so annoying because apparently our logic is irrelevant because when you're talking to the people who have already dismissed logic, you have to go to their level. Say, no, it's here. This is why you should legalize it. Jesus. Hello? So now I should be clear and mention that the bill has a tough road ahead, and it probably won't get through the Senate or be signed by the governor because the governor's a really far right-wing clown now. But just the fact that it got out of committee is amazing. And I think this is a big story because it really signifies a tremendous shift in political opinion in America. On this issue, obviously other issues, you see the same kind of shift. Gay marriage is another one that comes to mind. We're now 61% of the American people are pro-gay marriage when that wasn't the case even in 1998, right? Like back then it was still majority, overwhelming majority against gay marriage. We've had a tremendous shift on that issue. But another one of the biggest shifts is on the issue of marijuana. In fact, in the nation, it's 58% now support legalization of marijuana. That's for all of America. But get this, even in Texas specifically, in a 2013 poll, they found that 58% of Texans. So 58% of Texans support legalizing marijuana for adults and regulating it similarly to alcohol. So when you can get New York liberals like myself and LA liberals and people in Texas to all agree on an issue, TikTok, it's a matter of time. You know, we're moving towards the inevitable here. We will at some point definitely decriminalize marijuana, maybe even legalize marijuana, and I cannot wait for that day to come. All right, now. We go to a gay rights issue here, which I think is interesting for reasons you might not expect. Okay. Guy Benson is the political editor at the conservative website townhall.com. Now, this guy is a conservative, and he also recently came out as gay. So he's a gay conservative, which is rare, let's face it. And Christian radio host Brian Fisher is quite upset about this. So he released a statement demanding that Benson be fired. As always, Bri, stay classy. So here's what he said. Quote, Benson is young, smart, and articulate, and often appears on Fox News as a pundit on all manner of political issues. This makes him particularly dangerous to the conservative cause. Now, I don't know Mr. Benson, and he certainly seems like a particularly nice and friendly individual, but this is not about his personality. It's about his politics. Town Hall, by the way, is owned by Salem Media Group, which describes its mission as targeting audiences interested in Christian and family-themed content and conservative values. To my knowledge, Salem has yet to explain how paying an openly homosexual activist to be the political editor of its main public policy publication is consistent with its mission. If Salem leadership is to be at all true to its own mission statement, Benson must be replaced. His values on homosexuality are not Christian, family-themed, or conservative. I like how this is almost an admission of defeat in a way, because what he's saying is, I can't really win a logical debate. I can't really win a substantive argument with somebody like this, so just fire him. Just censor him. I can't hear opinions that differ from mine because my ideology is that feeble and that weak. So in a way, this is an admission of defeat. Now, to dig a little deeper here, should this guy be fired? Well, in my opinion, absolutely not. And in fact, as you guys already know, I believe that it should be illegal for somebody to be fired solely on the basis of their sexual orientation. To me, that's as silly as, you know, firing somebody based on the color of their eyes or something like that. They can't help it. It's essentially in their nature. So, I mean, what are you going to do? You're just going to brazenly discriminate against them in that way? That's like firing somebody because they're black. I don't want you to work here. You're black. So I don't think that makes any sense whatsoever. But in an ironic way, I'm actually going to give Brian Fisher a little bit of credit on this, because he's one of very few honest right-wingers on this issue. What he's saying is, yes, I am a conservative, I am a Republican, I am a Christian, and I don't like gay people. Yes, myself and my group, we do not like gay people. We are not on the side of gay people. And I have to say, the first thing that came to my mind when I read this was when Bruce Jenner, we all know he recently came out as transgender, but he also came out as a Republican. And I said it at the time, I know a lot of you guys in the audience agreed with me, that's the part that got me angry. Because it's like, you're almost asking to not have your cause advanced if you say, I am transgender, I am gay, but I am a Republican. So that's it reminded me of that, because the reality is somebody should sit down with Bruce Jenner and somebody should sit down with Guy Benson, the gay conservative editor, and say to him, look, man, Brian Fisher is even proving it right now. They don't like you. They don't like you so much to the point where he's literally trying to get you fired because of who you are as an individual. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. They don't like you. They're not on your team. Now, obviously, not all conservatives or Republicans are as extreme as Brian Fisher, but the reality is, on policy issues, they all agree. On policy issues, they're like, okay, yeah, 29 states, you could fire somebody for being gay, rock and roll. You know, you can kick somebody out of your restaurant for being gay. I'm fine with that. There's still many states in America where we don't have gay marriage. We still don't have it legal on a federal level. Hey, we like that. We're on that side. We're not concerned about transgender rights, gay rights. Not only is it not an issue that's on the agenda, we actively oppose progress in these areas. We oppose equal rights for them. So I actually give Brian Fisher credit for saying essentially what Mitch McConnell wants to say, what John Boehner wants to say, what all the conservatives want to say, but they have the political sense to dance around the issue and say, like, no, no, we're on their side, even though we vote against them every single time. So thank you for being honest. And now you're allowing us, you're opening up the door for people like myself and other good liberals who are open-minded and believe in equality to step up to people like Guy Benson and Bruce Jenner and say to them, really? Really? So you want to love who you are and be who you are and ask for equality, but you want to be on the side of the people that are against you being who you are and are against equality. That does not make any sense whatsoever. Okay, now we move on to Ben Carson. I believe I have a clip. Yes, I do. Here we go. Ben Carson was speaking at a conservative Christian event, and he told a really baffling personal story that should honestly immediately disqualify him from becoming president.
You know, I did very well academically. I won a scholarship to Yale. I thought I was pretty hot stuff. You know, Yale University from Detroit, I was pretty cool. Until I got to the end of that first semester and I was failing chemistry. That wasn't so cool at all. And you can't be pre-med and fail chemistry. And we were right there the day before the final. And my grades were so bad that even if I had gotten an A on the final, I still would have failed. That's how bad it was. But the professor was either very compassionate or very sadistic. I'm not sure which one, because he had a rule. He said, anybody who's failing, I'll give them double credit on their final. So you had like that one last burst of hope before you went down. And so there I was, night before, thinking about my life. I said, Lord, medicine is the only thing I ever wanted to do. I always thought that's what you wanted for me. And yet, it looks like I'm going to fail chemistry. I'm not going to go to medical school. I said, so would you please tell me what it is you really want me to do? Or alternatively and preferably, work a miracle. And I picked up that big chemistry book. I was going to learn the whole thing that night. And, of course, I fell asleep. Dreamed I was in this large auditorium, just me and a nebulous figure working out chemistry problems. And I awakened early in the morning. That dream was so vivid in my mind. I picked up my book. I started looking up the stuff that I dreamed about. And when I went to take the test the next morning, it was like the twilight zone. I opened that book and I recognized the first problem. It was one of the ones I dreamed about. And the next and the next and the next. And I aced the exam and, you know, got a good mark in chemistry. It worked out okay. But and I promised the Lord he would never have to do that for me again.
God helped you pass your chemistry test. God made the answers to a chemistry test appear to you in your dreams. Is that what God's concerned about? Okay, I want all my listeners to understand something very simple here. If a God exists and that's what God is focusing on, I do not want to worship that God. I do not want to worship that God. Because we live in a world, I don't know if you realized, where there's war happening all over the place. There's children who have been killed and displaced from their homes. We have disease and extreme poverty rampant everywhere in so many places. There's starving people in the world right now. I'm sure as of right now, there are some people somewhere. They're stranded at sea. There's people who were killed in the Mount Everest avalanche because of the earthquake, who were probably alive for like 11 hours before they died, just freezing cold and could barely breathe and just going through the most horrific experience you could ever imagine. I mean, Nepal is destroyed with this recent earthquake, and people are starving and they need aid immediately, and their homes are gone, and there's all this devastation and death and destruction and violent ideologies, whether it's Nazism or jihad or imperialism. All these things exist. And God is not fixing those because we know they still exist. They're happening right now. They exist right now. But what did he do? I like this Ben Carson guy. I'm going to have him pass his chemistry test. That's where I'm going to put my focus. I don't want to worship that God. That God has horrific priorities. That God has ungodly priorities. So if the God is acting ungodly, is that God really a God? Sorry to get philosophical on you, but, I mean, this is a legitimate question. Is it not? And Ben Carson is so unreflective, he never thought about any of these things. In his mind, she's like, well, of course God cares about me. I'm so special. Yay! Here's the thing. You are not rational. You are not competent. And I can't trust you in a job which depends on empiricism, if you say shit like that, Ben Carson. Because that makes absolutely no sense, and it didn't fucking happen, okay? But if you really believed it happened, you should probably be on Thorazine or Seroquel or some other antipsychotic medication. This guy was a brain surgeon. You are a brain surgeon, and you embrace wholly anti-empirical ideas. And you want to be the most powerful person on planet Earth. You want to be the president of the United States of America. But you believe God is talking to you and helping you with your chemistry test? How the fuck can I trust you with the nuclear launch code staring down Vladimir Putin? No, this is not okay. I'm sorry, but the guy should absolutely be disqualified based on stuff like this. I mean, we're not living in the year 1632. You can't say shit like that. We live in an age where there's science and reason and technology. We're not all the way there, right? But we're much smarter than he's letting on. He's saying shit as if we're all just supposed to believe it because he said it. And it's like, oh, it's my religion, so you can't question it. I'm fucking questioning it, man. Of course I'm questioning it. The same way you would question it if there was some Taliban conference somewhere and some guy said that God spoke to him and helped him, you know, become a better warrior or helped him feed his family or whatever. You'd say, oh, crazy, there's a wrong religion. Look at them, they're making shit up. So are you! So are you! So this is, I mean, any rational person should look at this, and on this alone, never mind all the other shit he's done, you should say, sorry, exit stage left, you're out of the conversation. Okay, now, see, time worked out perfectly, man. I told you I'd get in. Do I know what the fuck I'm doing here, son, or do I know what the fuck I'm doing? I told you I'd get in all the same number of stories. So, let's round the corner here, baby. For everybody just joining us, I don't know why you would be. Get your life together if you're not listening from the very beginning. Come on, man. That's fucked up. Got to listen from the beginning. We're done at 5:30 because fuck YouTube. That's why. In a nutshell, they changed their formats they accept and the video files they accept, which adds a tremendous amount of time to the editing process. So it's basically impossible for me to finish at the normal time and get everything uploaded before like 2:30 in the morning, and that makes me want to kill myself. So we have to shave off 30 minutes, and I'm still getting in the same number of stories because that's how I roll, bitch. All right. Now that that's off my chest for a second time, we go to Saudi Arabia. They're getting a lot of talk today, huh? Saudi Arabia on Wednesday beheaded somebody for drug trafficking. That brings the number of executions this year alone to 79. Incredible. According to AFP tallies, quote, that figure compares with 87 for all of last year and adds to executions of locals and foreigners. So they're killing locals, they're killing foreigners, they're killing people for all types of reasons. Authorities carried out the death sentence against Hussein al-Omairi in the northwestern region of Tabuk. He was guilty of smuggling amphetamine pills. So just understand, man, whenever I read a story like this, sometimes I feel like there's a disconnect in my mind from the words on the page because what they're discussing is such a foreign concept. But you have to view it as if it were happening to you or somebody around you in order to have that aha effect so you understand what's really happening. And I realize, first of all, when they say amphetamine pills, essentially what they're referring to is like Adderall. That's basically what Adderall is, the ADHD medication that kids here take in college so they could study longer. They're killing people for selling that. Insane. So it occurred to me like, oh, wait, I've taken Adderall many times in my life. In college sometimes, I used to take it like we were always afraid for the most part to do cocaine. So Adderall gives you kind of like a cocaine-ish high. It gives you a very similar feeling. So we would take that instead, pill form, because everybody knows that if you take it in pill form, you always feel like it's less of a wrong activity. Like, oh, if you snort, that's fucked up. Or you do any needles involved, oh, you're crazy. But if you take a pill, totally fine. It's just a weird psychological thing. So we would do that, and then we'd fucking party and have fun, and I took it many, many times in my life. And I realized, like, wait. What they're describing here is the same as one of my best friends, one of my buddies in college who had given me, you know, some of his pills, and I took them. It's like if the authorities tackled that guy and then killed him and then acted like that's a system of justice. Like, yeah, no, we killed him because he gave you some Adderall pills. That's justice. No, that would be injustice! Injustice! Justice is, you look at that, you know, exchange happening, and you go, oh, awesome, these guys had a great time. They were out there, you know, with a group of girls, dancing, drinking, fucking fun all day long. You do that more often. That's justice. Justice is like, oh, fun, great. You cut loose a little bit. But they kill you. They kill you. They killed this poor guy, man. That's an absolute crime. And Amnesty International and other human rights groups are like, yeah, like, stop. they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. They're just like, dude, you can't do this. You can't do this. Like, yeah, piss off. We don't care. I mean, when the previous king was kinder than the new one, 87 for all of last year, which is still bad, but now we're like 3.5 minutes into the year. They're like, okay, 79 and counting. We're cutting their heads off by the day. So here are the crimes that they execute for. Murder. Rape. So far you're like, yeah, we don't agree with beheading, but if you're going to do it for anything, murder, okay, do something like that. Drug trafficking. Apostasy. I don't believe in your cult and your dumb ideas. We're going to have to kill you now. You basically have the Jonestown people who drank the Kool-Aid and killed themselves. That's a country. This is a country. I don't believe in what you believe, that you have to die. What the fuck? Atheism. They kill people for atheism. I would be dead 196 times over. How are you going to kill somebody for disagreeing with you? For looking at evidence and saying, you know, I don't think there's much evidence for believing in a religion or God or death. Again, by the way, I think that ironically is further evidence that we're right. They can't beat us on logical grounds, and they're not secure enough in their beliefs that they just say, we're going to kill you because you disagree with us. And, of course, they kill people for sorcery. They kill people for something that absolutely doesn't exist. So essentially all you have to do is accuse somebody of sorcery and just say it loud enough and long enough and, you know, have one of your buddies get in on it, and then maybe they'll kill the person. Sorcery. Sorcery is not real. It's not a real thing. That doesn't exist. So basically one of the reasons they kill you in Saudi Arabia is just because they want to kill you. No reason. Just no reason they murder people. Wonderful. This is one of our top allies, by the way. Again, I love the hypocrisy of American foreign policy. We need to go into Afghanistan because the Taliban and Islamic extremists have control. They're implementing Sharia. We can't allow that. We need to bring them democracy. And then meanwhile, our buddies, Saudi Arabia, they're openly a theocracy. They're openly governing by Sharia. We're like, no, they're allowed to do the opposite of freedom and democracy. They're allowed to do it. But these guys, we need to fight over there to get them a democracy and to end Sharia. Sharia's fine over there. It's wrong over there. That would be the biggest example of hypocrisy ever, which shows you, by the way, those aren't the main concerns in American foreign policy. The main concerns are obviously we're a classic imperialist nation, essentially. We care about natural resources and geopolitical power and control, and we'll hang on to that by any means necessary. So if we have to get in bed with one of the worst regimes around, with ISIS as an official state, fuck it, we'll do it because that's what we do. So there you have it, man. Look, I think the solution is simple. Cut all ties. I'm not saying start a war with them. I don't want a war with them. Of course not. I don't want a war with anybody, right? But cut all ties. All the oil and gas we produce here, instead of shipping it overseas, which is what we do, and we're one of the top oil and gas producers in the world, let's consume our own. And by the way, even that would be temporary, because you guys know we need to transfer over to green technology, which we can do if we just tried to do it. But either way, we should end our dependence on foreign oil, because look at the people we're in bed with. All right, and finally, last story of the day. Sunday school teacher Brian Dawson said that the Mormon Church dismissed him because he used the church's own writings to explain their previous racism from early generations. So the Salt Lake Tribune reports, quote, Dawson, who was a former missionary, recalled that children in his Sunday school class asked him in February why his Nigerian wife would have chosen to join a church with a history of banning black people from the priesthood. So he turned to a 2013 church essay titled Race and the Priesthood, which argued that former LDS President Brigham Young was influenced by racial attitudes of the 1800s. At the time, the church taught that black members could not enter the priesthood because the color of their skin proved that they were fence-sitters in the war with Satan. Of course, the ban on black priests was lifted in 1978, a little late to the party of equality, although some Mormons still cling to the belief that dark skin is a curse. After Dawson discussed the church's essay with his Sunday school class, at least one of the parents complained to his bishop. A bishop warned him and said, quote, "Anything regarding black history before 1978 is irrelevant and a moot point." Dawson said that he was ordered to never again discuss black Mormon history with his students. Okay, and then eventually he was let go, like I said. So, goddamn, this is how insane and crazy and backwards religious ideologies and essentially cults are. They're so ridiculous that they're even willing to try to override and ignore the history that's officially taught by their own church. They basically said to this guy, yes, I get it that you're just explaining facts. You're explaining the reality of what it was like in the church. And you're going based off of essays written by previous leaders in the church. But don't talk about that because it doesn't make us look too good. It makes us look like we're crazy and our ideology has been made up all along, so I can't have you discussing facts. The thing about religions is they're so brazen, they're so arrogant in their appeals to authority and like their attempt to cover up you from using your mind to try to determine what's true and false. They're just like, okay, yeah, that happened, but shut the fuck up about it because I told you so. And I'm an authority figure. I'm above you in the church. And if you talk about that, it's going to hurt the church. So shut up. I don't care if it's true. Well, that exposes their entire ideology. Because that's the way they think about all the different issues, right? That's like, oh, so you have evidence showing that, you know, Mormonism is a ridiculous belief system that includes magic underwear? Well, don't fucking look at that because the people who are against the church are evil because I say they're evil. Or they're just explaining reality and they're saying, hey, look, your ideology's made up. But they can't, they're so insecure and they're so fragile and they have such a feeble understanding and true faith in their belief system that they're like, yeah, fuck it, just censor all the parts that are bad. No, you know, this reminds me of like when some sort of fascist regime takes over a country and they try to cover up the abuses of the regime. You know, it's like we see it all the time, honestly, with conservatives in America where they're, don't talk about the Native American genocide, don't talk about slavery, don't talk about segregation, don't talk about post-World War II American foreign policy, don't talk about Iraq in a negative way. They try to say, no, I want you to love America and believe America is great and disregard all the negative evidence. Well, that's why we laugh at you, because you're a dumb person if you do that. You're embracing ignorance. You want to believe what makes you feel good. Same thing with the Mormon church in this respect. Don't talk about our racial history because it sucks and we can't defend it, so it will disincentivize people from being part of the church. So www.shutterup.com. So now you know exactly where they're coming from, and now you know they're even willing to leave their own people behind and kick out their own people if they feel like they're threatening the greater good by bringing up facts. All right, guys, I'm out of time. I love you to death. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Mwah. Kisses. Peace.